Welcome back to Parenting Unplugged. Hey, Elisa, how are you doing today?
Hey, man. I'm doing pretty well. A little tired. Just got back from a 2-week trip to Dominican Republic. So, pretty
Oh,
exhausted on this end, but it was
wow.
beautiful. Yeah, such a good
Oh,
trip.
my gosh. I can imagine.
Yeah, man, it was absolutely incredible. How are you, man? How are things with you?
I'm good. Like you're like reeling down, and I'm packing up, and I'm going to Greece in a
Ooh.
few days. So I'm
Oh.
excited about that.
That sounds so good. Have you been to Greece before?
I've been to a couple places. This is a new place that I'm going to. I'm going with my whole family. So yeah, I'm super
Oh.
excited about that. So yeah, welcome guys. Welcome back to our podcast. Thank you for joining. We're gonna dive into our next episode, and we're gonna talk a little bit about, like the daily grind, the diapering, the bathing of your baby, and soothing of your baby. So, the day-to-day things that we do on repeat, especially in those first 3 months, which are so important with creating a routine, making your baby feel safe and secure, and, creating that routine for your family as well.
Man, and when you're talking about routines and things like that, like there's so much that we could share that are probably off the top of our heads, like things that worked for us when our kids were newborns. But I think that like off the top of my head, the first thing that comes to mind is a routine for me. So like for example, something that like really worked for me in these early days was setting like a mini routine, a mini bedtime routine for Kami when even like the moment that she came home. So like, and what I mean by this is like, come 7, 8 p.m., that is kind of like the bedtime that I wanted to set for her, which obviously a newborn doesn't have a bedtime, but would try to like wind her down by like, if I was bathing her, I would bathe her first, or I would like wipe her down. I would, set the tone with some really low music. I would swaddle her and then just kind of like feed her after and do something like that, and then like put her in the bassinet. That's kind of the routine that I had going for me, even like early on days, even if she would like pop back up, obviously not pop back up, but like if she would wake up 10 minutes later, it's just something that like I created for myself and also for her, just as like a, I don't know, it just kind of like really helped like wind me down, and it just helped set the tone for the night, hoping that eventually she would sleep through the night.
I feel like when we are living in that chaos of like what we call the newborn trenches, like those first 3 months, creating a routine, not a hardcore routine, because newborns, obviously, like you said, Elisa, they don't have a routine and you cannot expect them to follow a routine so young. But I feel for the parents to try and establish some kind of routine makes us feel safe, and it makes us feel more in control of a world of chaos, because that is the word for those beginning moments of parenthood. It is complete chaos. You don't know whether you're coming or going. You're, especially like for the woman, your hormones are all over the place. So, I feel like it's important for not only your baby to feel safe and secure, but you also need to feel safe and secure because you're also going into a new world. And as a first-time mum, it's very much like that because you are, this is, everything is new. But also, if you are a parent already and you are having your second or third, having one to two children, like going from one child to two children, going from two children to three children, it's a big change still. It's not the same. You're going to have different challenges every chapter. So I do like the idea, like you were saying, about establishing some kind of routine, like in, we say that loosely, right? The term routine, to maybe make us feel a little bit more in control of a world of chaos at that present moment.
Feeling control in a world where everything's out of control.
Yes, exactly.
And this could be something as small as like putting some music on to like help the baby wind down every night. It could be just like reading a book to the baby. Even obviously, like the baby's a newborn and can't understand what a book is, but obviously that helps wind you down as well. Like as a mom, like that just kind of like helps set the tone for the night and, you know, wind things down. So I think that in this moment of chaos, I think it's really important to try to bring those emotions of like feeling safe and secure, like you said. I think that that is definitely very important. You know, Monica, and then there's like so many other things that we can touch on. The diapers are endless during this time as well. Like establishing a routine is important, but the diapers are just like around the clock. So like you are constantly changing diapers, and I feel like it just like literally consumes you. Did you use cloth diapers or did you use the disposable ones?
So I use the disposable ones. I do know some people that use the cloth ones, and I know my mum used the cloth ones back in the day because the disposables just weren't readily available like they
Available.
are today. But I did choose the disposable just because of the convenience of it. Of course, I know that the cloth ones are more eco-friendly. They are less damaging to the environment. But as a personal choice, I did use the disposable ones. Now that I am a mum and to have future children, I think I would consider cloth ones, but if I had the time to obviously to do the washing, to yeah, because that's I do feel like in maybe my mum's generation, maybe when they had more time at home with the baby, you had maybe the time
Or more people around too to
and
help.
more people around. Yeah, exactly. They had maybe more of a village to help with that. But also, the world we live in is changing as well. So disposable ones, I mean, the cloth ones are quite rare to find now.
I think like the cloth ones, they're amazing. I mean, I 100% I agree with using them if it's possible. Like, go for it. Go for using cloth diapers and using like glass bottles. All of these like really good. They're going to be like healthier for the baby, but obviously cloth diapers for like a newborn child, you're going to be changing diapers around the clock. So if you have that kind of help, you kind of have to choose the convenience of the disposable diapers. But with the disposable diapers, there's a lot of options out there of diapers that are better for the baby as well. So you can also do research on like different diapers that are going to be less damaging, along with the wipes as well, that are, you know, have like better ingredients and all of those things. So obviously, like you said, the world is changing and there's more available now as well. If you can't do the cloth, you might be able to do, you know, a different kind of diaper that's going to be a little bit better. And you know, with like less of the like toxins, built with diaper. So, and like, you know, I don't know if you had to deal with rashes a lot. No.
Not so much. Not so much with Noah. More likely it was the issue when I had to go kind of like hybrid, like when I had to stop breastfeeding as much and I had to give him like formula top-ups. He rejecting the formula, which was making him have a lot of like mucus poos, as well as sometimes like he was spitting up a lot. So literally, the onesie, we would go through onesies like there was no tomorrow. Like I think he would maybe go through like six or seven onesies a day. Like it was ridiculous because of the spit up. Sometimes we'd have obviously like the poo explosions, but it was kind of not your typical because he had the intolerance, the milk intolerance that we weren't aware of initially. So we had to deal with that. And sometimes that would give him maybe like rashes on his bum because he was like sometimes it was every hour he was pooing, which is far too much for a baby.
Because then they can get dehydrated and all this can happen.
But once that was sorted and we went on to hypoallergenic formula, that like he went down to like two or three poos a day, which was amazing because we were going from like eight or nine to two to three. So that just stopped the rash outbreaks
Thank
because, he wasn't passing, poop that often, which was an absolute godsend.
The whole milk situation is such a big issue. It's such a big topic for babies. Milks make all the difference, right? Whether you're like seeing or you're like on formula or a combination of both, it's a big topic because it'll change like the way that they're pooping, the way that they're peeing. Like obviously it'll make the baby uncomfortable, stomach aches, gas, like just like, just feel. I think that that is what you're doing for the majority of like the first couple of months after baby is born. You're just trying to figure out how to feed them and keep them alive.
Yeah, exactly. And
So,
the burping,
and
like the gas that they
the
have, you've got to be so
burping,
careful because they're so delicate.
there's bottles for gas,
Oh,
for like
yeah, the colic and
the
all
colic.
of that stuff.
Yeah. In my case, since I was primarily breastfeeding, I noticed that whenever I had like maybe too much milk or maybe too much cheese, or I had like pizza the night before, I definitely saw a reaction in Kami the day after. So like she would probably have like one too many poops because like I had like a big, had a bunch of pizza the night before. So like I also had to like watch what I was eating because like it was a direct reflection of what Kami's poop was like the next day and upset her stomach was gonna be. So a lot of women actually end up going like dairy free and all of that, and I couldn't do that. That's a bit extreme, but
You
like,
love your cheese.
oh yeah, I love my cheese and dairy and stuff like that. So eggs and all of that. But yeah, I think like for me, I definitely went through all of that. A lot of blowouts for Kami, especially depending on like what I was eating. So I had like two different diaper creams that I would use. I had one that was like an everyday diaper cream, and then I had one that was like a thicker one, you know? I don't know if you had one like that. This thing was like a paste.
No, mine is like a, well, I use Sudocream, which is a British brand, but I actually, when I had to fly back to the DR, I took like 20 tubs with me because I, and it lasted me like a year, these
Yeah,
tubs. And
because
I've
you don't
used
need that
this,
much, right? You just
no, but I tried Bepanthen and other ones, but I always went back to Sudocream. It's like the OG of Sudocreams. And I would never use anything like a scratch, a bump, Sudocream, the next day he's good. Like it's like a miracle paste.
Oh, that
So
sounds
yeah, that's like, for me, that's like the OG cream to use.
yeah.
And I wouldn't use anything else now, but then obviously that's with Noah. But again, like every baby is different. So
Yeah.
a lot, like a friend of mine raved about Bepanthen and I tried it with Noah, but it didn't really work as well. But with the Sudocream, it's got quite a high zinc content, which is really healing.
I see.
So that worked really well for him. So I continued with that.
Okay, yeah, it's also like trial and error thing with like most things with babies, because obviously some babies can have a reaction to like a diaper cream or even to like a diaper itself. Like I've heard that babies are able to like put on like all diapers because they can cause rashes as well. So like, there's like so many different brands on the market these days of like diaper creams, diapers, wipes, like there's like endless options and stuff like that. So I think that like you do have to kind of like weigh out your options and see what trial and error, see what's gonna work best for you. But like obviously, with the like multiple diaper changes, there's like a lot of like times where there can be like late night surprises, and you're obviously like exhausted around the clock, and the last thing you need is like another blowout. And in my instance, I remember we went out for a walk, and we went to like a coffee shop, and it was actually, I think it was the first time we went out for a walk. And we get there, and we're like, yes, we made it. We made it to the coffee shop. We're here. Let's do this. I have some coffee. Let's get some breakfast. This is going to be great. So as soon as we get there, of course, Gami decides we take her out of we take her out of the stroller, and Gami decides to have a blowout, and poop just went like literally all up her back,
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh my God, the bathroom here is tiny. I doubt they're gonna have a changing table. So that was always
Right,
my topic
yeah.
It was always my that
Yeah.
was always my issue everywhere I went. I'm like, do you guys have a changing table? Do you have a changing table? Do you have a changing table?
Yeah, because it's so important. And I think
Yeah.
businesses need to bear this in mind as well.
Please.
They need to always have like
Yeah.
a nice space for
Please have a
babies.
changing table and
Yeah.
have them in the dad's bathroom, please. Because what is
Right. Oh
what?
my gosh. What is up with that? Like, why is there
Yes.
no changing tables in the men's bathroom?
Yeah. Does
Are
that
we
mean that
that ba
men?
are we back in like the dark ages? Like, come on.
Does it mean that men don't take out their kids? Like, I don't understand.
Right?
It doesn't make any sense to me. But then,
No.
so this like place that we went to, of course, bathroom was tiny. Definitely no changing table in there. I'm like, how are we gonna do this? How can I change her? And like, I didn't have the skill of changing her in the stroller. I know some moms out there change their babies in strollers. I never achieved that skill. I was never able to do that. And you know, God
Yeah.
bless whoever was able to do that, because I can't. I don't know. I couldn't manage it. So of course, what do? We got up and left. We're like, forget it. We can't even order food. Let's go home. So
Oh, I know,
we
it's
took our
so
food.
hard.
Yeah, we took our food to go, because obviously you can't let her sit there and poop because she's going to
Yeah.
get a rash. So came back home and called it a day, you know. So
Yeah.
of course, like these kind of things happen when you have a tiny newborn. It's the unexpected. So
It's so hard. And you know, with Noah, I actually, whenever he did a poop, I actually cleaned him with a soft cloth and water for the first 3 or 4 months because I didn't want to use wipes on him. So literally every time, and you know, obviously we had issues with the multiple poops and stuff throughout the day. So literally every time I had to get like lukewarm water, the soft cloth, the Pseudocreme, and I did that out of choice. And we did go through when we, you know, when I did start using wipes, I had to do trial and improvement to find the right one because some of them were like too wet and some of them gave him rashes and some of them were too dry. It was like, you know, you have to go through all of that. But it worked. I mean, I'm glad I did use just kind of like water with him for the first few months. But then obviously if you want to go out, you can't just, you know, get out a bowl of water and a soft cloth because you're out, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You need to have some wipes with you. And
Yeah.
like you said, like you do have to go through like the trial and error of the wipes, which I had no idea that like wipes could be so different from each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you use a wipe warmer?
I did. I loved my
Did
wipe
you? I
warmer.
didn't use that because I didn't want to get Noah comfortable with that. I was like, no, he's going to use standard wipes.
Yeah, I did it because I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't stand the idea of Kami, like, of a cold wipe touching her booty in the middle of the night, you know? Like, I'm
Yeah.
like, I can't do this. So I got the wipe warmer. And you know what's funny till this day? I use the wipes. Kami's potty trained at this point. But like, when I go to take a wipe and to like clean her, I hold the wipe in my hand for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
My
It's
daughter.
a nice
To have.
idea.
My daughter is three
It
and a half, and I hold the wipe in my hand for 2 seconds because a couple of months ago, not too long ago, she was like, Mommy, that's cold.
Oh my, see, that's what I
Oh,
didn't want. I didn't want that with Noah, so I was like,
yes. I know. And I'm just like, you know, I guess we baby our kids, you know, that's one of the things that I
Yeah.
with. I did have a wipe warmer and I loved it. I loved my wipe warmer and I kept using it up until like the very end when Kami like literally kicked it off the changing table. And I was just like, all right, it's time to go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta love the wipe warmer. There's a lot of things that like here and there that are not that important, but like you know, some kids like it, and some kids, like some parents don't find it, you know, that big of a deal. So, you know, to each,
Yeah.
you know, you kind of like pick and choose what works for you. But like, you know, for example, when we're getting back to the routines, I think that like bath time routine is like gonna be like one of the things that obviously you think about. I know in like the early days, some people just like will maybe like use like a wet cloth to like wipe down the baby instead of doing like a full on bath. So like I think that like making the bath time as part of like the bedtime routine, I think is really important because you're starting to like wind down the baby, right? So I think that's like perfect to like get them into that habit early on so that it signals their brain that it's time to go to sleep. Like, mom and dad, we need a break. And
Yeah.
it's time for you to go to bed. So we're going to start this with a bath. So I love starting, the bedtime routine with a bath because I think it's soothing for the baby, and I think it's soothing for the parents too, to like enjoy that quality time with the newborn, with the baby.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and when did you start doing baths for Cammy?
So I delayed it a little bit because I read that newborns are born with a very protective layer on their skin. And I wanted to preserve that for as long as I could. So I might have delayed it for a little too long. I think it was close to a month. I might have pushed it. And my mother, a very typical Dominican mother, was like, "Did you bathe the kid? Did you bathe her? Did you bathe her?" And I'm like, "I'm going to, I'm going to." So I was like delaying it as much as I could. Then when we finally did, I started with like a wet, like a damp cloth, just like a fabric cloth. And I used like warm water and we like, would bathe obviously around the umbilical cord because it's, she still had the umbilical cord at that
Oh
point.
my God, that freaked me out. The umbilical cord freaked me out. I was like, when is this thing gonna drop off? Because I can't look at this anymore. Like I can't. I was so paranoid, like the putting the diaper over it, like I'm gonna hurt him. Like, oh my God, I just wanted,
You had
when
to
that
fold the
thing
diaper
fell off,
over.
like when it fell off, and he was like during the night one time, and then one day we just woke up and it wasn't there. And I was like, oh, finally. Like I don't have to worry about that, because that just really grossed me out. Like I was like, that thing needs to go. And did you keep the umbilical cord?
I actually have
Oh
it.
my God, I couldn't. I couldn't. I was like, no. I like George found it in his diaper one morning, and I was like, that's got to go. I'm not keeping that. There's no way.
Have it, I swear to God. And you know what? I even bought like a personal
Oh my
a
gosh.
personalized box for it.
Oh my God.
Has her
You know
name.
what? No, nuh-uh. I could not do that.
Just figured it's one of those things that, like, it might be gross, but like it's
No, I know. My mum still has my umbilical cord.
No way.
Yeah, and the cord, like the clamp, like she
Oh
still has it. And she was
wow.
like, "Do you want to see it?" And I'm like, "No, I'm good. Like, you
Yeah,
keep that. That's fine."
I don't think Gummy's ever gonna want to see hers either. And I know it's just one of those things, like those like attachment things for me that attach.
Exactly.
Yeah,
That's
but
so funny.
there's some diapers now that come with like a little opening for the umbilical cord. Have you seen those?
I haven't.
Yeah, it comes with like an opening for it, so you don't have to fold over the diaper. Like it just like it's like so convenient. You just like it leaves like a little space for it, which
I
is
mean,
like
that's the thing. This world is like evolving so quick, right? Everyone's looking like, how do we evolve this product? How do we make it? So going back to like the cloths and the diapers, I think we're evolving so quickly that everyone, and it's like everyone just wants to live in convenience.
Yeah, of course,
Right.
because most mothers, we're working mothers, you're
And
working,
that's the thing.
whether you're working at home or you're working, in an office somewhere, you're managing multiple things at a time. You're not just like, you don't have the luxury of like a village possibly around you as much as, our mothers did.
But there's also, I feel like, going through those early stages. I mean, like my son is two now, so when you reflect back on those newborn days, I think you just have to ride that storm out, because everyone, people can tell you, this is what to expect, this is what to expect, but I feel like you just have to experience it, the highs and the lows, to really kind of gain an understanding of what it's all about. And sometimes I feel like obviously it would be great to have like a massive village around you. But regardless of how many people you have around you, you still need to go through it.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's only so much advice that we could provide. I've had like mothers reaching out to me about certain things, and I'll give them like my point of view or what worked for me. But obviously, like, what works for us might not work for the next person. And I think that, like, obviously you might have a baby that sleeps really well when they're born, and you might have a really good sleeper. And obviously, that was in our case certain times. We didn't have like Gabby wasn't a good napper. So like I have advice on like a baby that for a baby that doesn't nap well. So I think, like you said, I think that you do have to just kind of go through it and obviously know that, that you're not doing anything wrong. You know, there's no right or wrong way to parenting. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's hard. You know, being a parent is hard. It's hard work, and that's totally the truth. That's the truth about it, behind it all, that, you know, these newborn days, the newborn trenches and beyond are really hard, and you just kind of have to like live through it and, you know, trial and
Yeah.
error, I
And
think.
also, I feel like, just kind of like as an end note as well, I feel in this generation with the social media we have around us, it's so easy as like a newly postpartum mum or dad to look on social media to see everyone like, oh, I gave birth like a few weeks ago and I'm, you know, I look, you know, like presentable and I've got myself together. And it's so easy to start comparing yourself and to start thinking like, but why am I not doing that? And why is it not happening for me? And I think at the end of the day, whether you are becoming a new mum, you are a new mum, you're having multiple children, I think you have to just realize that you are an amazing mum and dad without having to do any of this extra stuff that you see externally. I think the best thing you can do, especially during that period, is to shut down social media and to just, you know, try and have those one or two people around you that's really gonna ground you, whether that's like your partner, a friend, you know, your parents, and just kind of be in that energy, because social media and like external factors can put a lot of pressure, unnecessary pressure on you. And I think, you know, the last thing that I would like to say on this episode is to just for especially the mamas out there, like you are not alone and you are doing everything in your power for you and your baby. And that's kind of, and you are enough. And I think that's a really important message to put out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, like, do what works for you. You know, I think that, like, whatever's happening around you, whatever the next mom next to you is doing, the way that she's feeding her baby, or, you know, however she decides to raise her kids, that worked for them and that might be working for them. But you, at your core, you know what is going to work for you and your family and your situation. So I think that stick to what works for you and follow that. You know, I think that that is also like really important to keep in mind, especially like early days and beyond. I think that everyone parents their child differently, and it's for obvious reasons. Everyone has like different circumstances. So, you know, I think that the comparisons also, as well, what you're saying about social media, most of it is not true. Most of it is just like for show. You know, they're putting on a camera and maybe they have, you know, someone in the next room watching the baby while they, you know, are doing certain things, getting the food prepped and stuff like that. It's never going to look picture perfect, but I think do what's going to work for you and your family, and you'll see that that will be the best way. That is what's gonna work out. So I think that that is also like my final message on here as well, is that try not to listen to the outside noise. And we've mentioned this in the past, but I think it's like really important to like reiterate that, you know, to like don't listen to what other people are doing around you, and just kind of like stick to what you know and to what is gonna work for you and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, thank you for listening, guys. I've loved this episode. I've loved getting into this topic. Thank you for sharing your personal experiences, Elisa, as well. I mean, it's always good to hear from other mums out there as well with their own experience. And yeah, it's been a great episode. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us this time around. And you know, we love to hear your stories. We love to hear about our audience and your experiences. Obviously, everyone's struggle is different, so we love to hear from you what your experience was like. So please feel free to leave a comment on our Spotify or on our Apple Podcasts. And of course, as always, subscribe so you get the notifications every time that we drop a new episode. Our podcast is growing and we are really excited for what's to come.
Yeah, thank you guys, and we can't wait for you to tune in next time.
All
Take
right.
care.
Bye.